Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, yo, yo.
Blog Talk Radio.
This is DDP, down in Dallas Page, and you're listening to DDP Radio. DDP Radio.
Yo, what's up? Sorry I'm late, but welcome to another episode of DDP Radio. Robert, are you on, my man?
Oh, and we've got Doug and Terry with us.
All right, very good. I actually was on time here. Hit some serious heavy traffic, but that's all part of living in the land of law. I was coming back from an awesome massage from my buddy Sandy, and just hit some buried traffic that was literally bumper to bumper, and somehow I made it back. And I was actually right on time. I thought I was just going to actually make it, and then my computer went into a little bit of a freeze, and such here I am. I want to welcome my two co-hosts today. Normally, we have Stacy in the spot, but before there was Stacy, there was Terry. And we have the lovely Terry Lang. How you doing, baby?
Hey, darling. How are you? Doing good.
Well, I'll tell you all about that in a minute. And we have a guy who's going to come out and spend the next couple of days with me, the monster motivator, Doug Steffen. How you doing, bro?
I am doing great. Hey, I have some news for you.
Yeah.
I had lunch today with Stacy Morris.
Was she down there in Texas?
Yes, she got a hold of me yesterday, and she's here for a writer's convention. So it just so happened she flew in. I picked her up from the airport. We had lunch, and she wanted me to tell you, no, nothing is done by Photoshop. It's all her.
Oh, that's cool.
Amazing time.
I talked to her yesterday or the day before a trip, and I said, if you're going to San Antonio, you better call Doug. And she goes, I don't know if I'll have time with the planned meetings, but she said, I'm going to give it a try, so I'm so glad.
Yeah, it worked out great.
That's great. It's really a great community we've built here. A lot of good friends. And you guys, another person who's gotten to meet Stacy, and Terry and I have still yet to ever meet her. So eventually we will, and hopefully it'll be down at the DDP YRG retreat down in Mexico. Want to let you guys know, because I know it's tax returns and people are getting some money back. And if you do want to go to that, you should definitely go to DiamondDallasPage.com. And at the bottom of my page is where the YRG retreat information is there. And you want to lock that down, because I'm just about to put it out there. And I'm only going to hold on to 60 seats. I'm not going to go farther than that. That's not 60 rooms. That's 60 people. And I'm not sure where we're at right now, but I know we've still got plenty of room left, but I haven't promoted it at all, because I wasn't going to bother promoting it until it got till around tax time and people are starting to think about, okay, they got some money coming back and they can swing it or they can't. So if you can, it'd be a great time. We're going to it's actually 4 days and 3 nights, or it'll be 5 days and 4 nights. You pick whatever package you want, and the place is amazing, and it's all inclusive. And they're actually going to do gluten free and dairy free meals if you want them. You know, if you're not eating gluten free and dairy free, you don't have to. But if you want to try it, what a place to actually try it, because we're going to have the actual, you know, a place that's a resort that's going to cater to that. And I'm going to do baking seminar and a cooking seminar as well, and just how to eat that way. So maybe you want to come out there and, you know, kickstart it then. Actually, that's going to be what this show, it's not actually only about gluten-free, but that's one of the things that I hear a lot of people that are coming on new to the site, new to the YRG site and Team YRG are asking questions, you know, about that. And I can't think of a better person to have on than Terry Lang, considering I never go gluten-free or even understand what celiac is or wheat allergies or sensitivity or any of that unless she got it. And she got that. So I will start off by talking about that. in a moment. But first, I want to give you some details of what I've been up to, where I'm going, what I'm doing. If you're in Buffalo, and I know my buddy, our buddy Henry, he's up there. I'm actually going to be there March 27th. It's a Sunday. And they're having the Buffalo Men's Show. And it's a guy extravaganza, and they're going to have a bunch of different, you know, celebrities there, you know, signings and, you know, hanging out. I haven't decided what I'm going to do it yet, but I might even do some YRG while I'm down there, get a group of guys together and let them try it out. But I'll be up there for a couple of days. I'm going to probably go in there early, meet my buddy Dennis DiPaolo. He's got the greatest Italian restaurant on the planet. I'm going to make sure that he starts carrying gluten-free pasta if he's not already. And if not, I'll be bringing my own. And I'll be up there, probably do some TV and some radio. And, you know, because it's two of the radio stations are pimping it this time around. So I'll definitely go up there and, you know, plug what I'm doing. And then, you know, head over to the event on Sunday. So if you're in the Buffalo area, maybe you want to try to make it up for that. What else have I got going on over here? Look at my calendar. I think most of my stuff mainly starts in May. I'm really busy in May. I'm all over the place. I think I might even be heading over to England for a week or two over there. I'm not sure. Let's see. Yeah, I'm in San Jose on the 21st of May. This is a little far out. I'll be in Jersey at the first Saturday, the 7th of May. So that's not coming up for a while. So I'll hit you guys back with that and smarten you up as it gets a little bit closer. Before we get into talking about, you know, people's questions about gluten-free or how it all came to be, what it is, I want to talk to you about something about not dwelling on the positive and understand, I should say not dwelling on the negative, and understanding that there's certain things you have no control over except for how you act. And I'm going to use myself as an example. Recently, I noticed that my urine was like brown. And at the beginning, I thought, because I took in these extra vitamins I was taking, so I thought, you know, normally it'll make it real bright yellow. And the first day, I thought it was like, okay, it has to be something to do with what I'm taking. So I stopped taking the new stuff I was taking, and it still stayed brown. I go, that's not right. I go, it can't be blood. I haven't done anything. And by the third day, it was a weekend. I was like, I got to get this checked out. So I called up my doc, who's my endocrinologist, because, you know, I don't believe really that any doctor besides a specialist is like a family doctor. They don't know shit. So I want to go right to my endocrinologist. It's either that or my, believe it or not, my chiropractor, applied kinesiologist, Ken West, who he's like a Yoda type guy. I went to see my endocrinologist, and she said, because I don't think it's anything too bad, you know, you don't have any discomfort, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, nah, I feel fine. You know, I feel great. And she goes, well, I want you to go over and see the urologist. And I've got to tell you, there is nothing more comfortable than going and seeing a urologist, because there's only one way for him to check you out, okay? And that's taking that camera and sticking it up your private parts. And I'm talking about, for guys, you know where I'm going here. Man, that's uncomfortable. Then they're going to put water in there and basically check your bladder out. And so the bottom line, the doc comes back, he goes, your bladder's crystal clear. Checks me out of a few places. He goes, you look great. He goes, now let's go get you a little C scan or whatever it's called. What do they call that, Terry, when they...
CAT scan,
right. Well, now they've got, you know, they've grown. The woman who actually did the CAT scan on me, she'd been doing this over 30 years. She actually was there when the first ones came in 1980. And she said that this one is the highest level. This is a brand new one. It's only a year, not even a year old. And what they do is they're going to, you know, scan from my chest right on down into the lower part of my body. And we do all that. They have to take some, they do it without anything in me. And then they take some dye and put the dye in me. And then they're going to, you know, let that go through my body. And then they're going to scan me again. And then it comes out in layers of, you know, how it, you know, comes out in your body. Hey, Robert, do me a favor. Just send a thing over to on Twitter and just say we're on the air doing DDP radio. And put, if you can't get to a website, maybe you want to call in. Okay? So put that number as well. And, just call in to listen at this point right now. So the bottom line is they go through all that. You know, they do put the dye in me. And I've had this happen to me before, but normally it was like for my knee or my shoulder or something like that. And when I was peeing blood for 13 out of 16 weeks when I was wrestling Randy Savage, mainly because Randy was coming off the top rope, and when he landed on you, he, you know, especially the last third of his last quarter of his career, he didn't really take any of the brunt. Like, he didn't land on his hip. He landed on you, and he was 250 pounds, 5'11", and when he's all muscled up, when he hits you, you felt like your ribs were going to burst open and splatter your guts all across the side of the ring. I mean, he did it to Charles Roberts, a referee, and he almost killed him. I mean, he really almost killed him, and he wouldn't take it anymore. But I had to take it night in and night out because that was the heat he would get back for me, either hitting him with a diamond cutter or whatever. So I got to experience ridiculous amount of those elbow drops, and we were the feud of the year in 1997. So the bottom line is that I wasn't going to quit. You know, I didn't care about blood in my urine. So when the doctor saw that, and he actually did the same test that he did with the other one, the doc said, "Listen, you need to take off. You need to take some time off. You have really badly bruised kidneys." And I said, "Doc, I'm not. This is my time." So I worked through it. Eventually, the blood stopped. Randy stopped dropping on my rib cage and started dropping on my stomach. One time, he dropped across my face, completely knocked me out. That's a whole other story. Those stories you can find on the Real DDP video blogs that I do every week. And that was when I was talking about my Macho Man, because I actually started all my video blogs on the Real DDP. Started at the absolute beginning with Hall and Nash taking the diamond cutter in New Orleans when I was the first guy to drop the NWO, and it went right into the Savage angles. And I got it. It took me about 3 months to get through that, doing it every week, you know, talking about that angle because it was so strong. And I wanted to start with what made me a top guy, and Randy Savage made that happen. And then I went all the way back to the beginning, blah, blah, blah. I know it looks, sounds like my ADD is kicking in, but I actually know where I'm going with this story. So long story short, my ribs, you know, were taped. Anybody was watching over that period of time, it wasn't a gimmick. It sort of was, but it wasn't. You know, I really felt better when they were taped and bound. But my point was, back then, I wasn't going to stop doing it. There was nothing that was going to keep me short of not being able to get into the ring. I was going to keep going. And I kept, you know, I did. And now we're, let's see, that was 1997. We're close to 14 years later. And now this blood reappears. Now, I'm not worried about it. You know, I figure it's whatever it is, it is. Until I got a call today. So the doc says to me after, you know, he goes, "Listen, go do this, you know, the CAT scan. Come on in tomorrow, and I'll take a look at it, and we'll see where you're at." It's like, "Okay, no problem, doc." I go, "What time?" He goes, "Whenever you want." I go, "How about 9:30? He goes, 9:30 is fine. So, you know, I go get my massage. I'm on my way back home, and I get a message from the doctor's office saying, "The doctor wants you to come in and make an appointment." Now, you know, that's never good, you know, so I called them back and they had already left for the day. So I just, you know, reconfirmed to be there at 9:30. But automatically, I don't care who you are, it starts to go through your head. "Oh, my God, what if I got cancer? What if I got this? What if I got that? What if I got this?" Fuck that. You know, for me personally, and I know I've done that to myself numerous times. I know what I've done for myself, for my health, my organic juicing, my healthy eating. I couldn't take any better care of my body. If something was to happen where it turned into more than just piss and blood that came from nowhere, you know, then it is what it is, and I'll deal with it. But I control that. And I just wanted to share that story with you guys today, and it'll be good to find out what happens next week, because by that time I'll know what the hell it means and what I can do and what I have to do to keep moving forward. So wanted to share that story with you, and now let's roll into a lot of questions up there I've heard on the website, so I'm hoping you're going to come in and call in and actually ask questions. But before we do, I want to ask Terry, when you first were diagnosed as celiac, did you understand what that meant?
a simple definition of it. I did, I studied a paragraph of it in nursing, so I'd heard of it, and I knew it was a gluten issue, but I had no idea the depth of medical problems that could come from being a celiac and the autoimmune diseases that it causes. And really, no, I didn't really understand what that lifestyle meant.
Let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. First of all, explain what was happening. Let me back up a little bit. When you were feeling, like, what were the symptoms you were having before you actually found someone to diagnose you?
I had fatigue, just very heavy fatigue. Like, you're feeling overwhelmed with everything because you're just so very tired. Also, I had begun to have some other issues, like having pneumonia and then having asthma. And all of a sudden, I had terrible breathing issues, and I was taking like 4 asthma drugs. I went from no meds ever to stacks of drugs, asthma drugs and things.
Let me interject.
And my body changing was the biggest sign that something wasn't right in my body.
What do you mean your body changing?
I had lost weight probably 4 years previous, and so I was still just doing good YRG workouts. I was still eating healthy. My weight had not changed, but I was getting soft, jelly-like, you know, all that cellulite forming. And when I started going to various doctors, it was all about, what do you expect? You're 54, you're 55, you're getting older, you have a very aggressive massage practice, you're getting too old for that. You look great. But I knew, yeah, I looked still good in my jeans, but when I took my jeans off, things were wrong, and I wasn't feeling like me. And
so,
I couldn't get anybody to buy into that.
And this is a lesson, and the reason why I'm asking Terry this is because, you know, so many times, like right now, I don't feel any different. I don't feel bad. So my body isn't telling me anything's wrong. I just did a kick-ass 3 workouts in a row the last 3 days, like hour and 20 minutes, hour and 30-minute workouts. So I wasn't feeling down. My body wasn't feeling down. But when you see your urine change color to like puke brown, something ain't right. You know, but the other side of it is what's happening at Terry, where your body's telling you, God, I feel like shit, and the doctors are telling you, and I've had so many people have the doctors say to them, this is because you're 50 now. This is your late 40s. You have to expect it. It happens to everybody. Well, Terry didn't listen to that because she knew it wasn't true, and then what did you do?
Well, I have to say, which I did say to the last doctor I saw, it's like, I understand I'm aging, but I can't feel great at 54 and horrid at 55. You don't age like that. You age over years and times, but you aren't just great for 3 or 4 years and then you plummet in the next year. I just couldn't accept that. So as I was getting sicker, I was cutting back a little bit on my practice. And one of my clients who had seen Dr. Saviano, Bernadette, our nutritionist, a couple years ago, I mean, I remember this vague story from him. He came in with a rotator injury. I hadn't seen him for a little while. And he came in and said, you look terrible. Did you ever see that nutritionist? And I said, no, I got her card, but she's on a long list. I'm still seeing all these doctors. And one doctor would send me to the next doctor, et cetera. And he goes, you are calling her right now. And he made me call and make an appointment. And the rest is history. I walked in to her office, and I didn't even sit down. She said, you're a celiac. I can hear your breath. I can see the eczema on your forearms. And she said, you're not ever to touch weed again. And we had a very lengthy conversation. And I walked out the door thinking, I think she's going to help me. And I never put a bite of wheat or gluten in my mouth again.
Let's be honest, because people, when this first happens to people, or when they make a decision to stop eating wheat, and this is what this show is about today, it's about, you know, the choice of being gluten-free. And you have to remember that, you know, three years ago, no one even knew what gluten-free was. I did, only because what Terry was going through, and I knew what it could do to help your body as far as losing weight. So eliminating it. So it wasn't, and that's why in the whole YRG program, while that's part of phase two and phase three, you know, you don't have to do it, but if you do it, you're going to see amazing results. And this is why I put it in there, because when Terry told me that Bernadette told you what would happen to your stomach and your arms, what did she tell you about that?
She told me, and you're right, when I told you, it's like we both could not believe it. My skin had lost, that was another thing, had lost a lot of elasticity. And so it was kind of just hanging, like a hound dog kind of, at my stomach and arms. And she said, you are going to tighten your skin back. When you can get your immune system functioning again, your liver panels working, all this, get all of the problems fixed. And she said, it will take you years. And I thought, years? But she said, your skin will tighten. And it's like, nobody's skin tightens when they're, now I'm in the upper 50s. I said, I cannot believe that this can happen. I've never seen this. And she goes, it will happen. You're going to be patient and you're going to eat really good the rest of your life and you will get well. And she still says, I'll get off all the rest of my asthma drugs. I've eliminated some. She said, you will reverse this. The doctors won't believe it, but you will as long as you eat healthy.
Well, when she told me, the first words I said was, bullshit. You know, it was like, there's no way. But you know what? I'm not going anywhere, so we'll see. And I hadn't seen Terry in about 4 months because it was going back and forth to Atlanta. I was missing her. She was away, or I came in when she wasn't in town or whatever, or my schedule was too tight or whatever happened. It had been like 4 months, and it was coming up to about the 19 or 20, maybe it's like 21 or 22 months that you'd been off. And I hadn't seen you. It might have been 4, it might have been 6 months. I don't know. It was a lengthy amount of time for us because we always see each other at some
point.
Right,
it was a few months.
And I remember walking in. I go, wow, you look great. And you went, yeah, check this out, too. And she was wearing her jacket, and she took her jacket off. She goes, look at my arms. I go, oh, my God. I go, they did get tighter. Oh, my God, do you have the original pictures? She goes, yes, I've got them all. She goes, look at my belly. Look at the cellulite on my legs. It was like a show-and-tell thing because everything that Bernadette said was happening. So at that time, I was feeling really – like I never did the wheat and dairy thing to eliminate weight, obviously. You know, I can stay lean. I have a fast metabolism. But I've kept it fast my whole life. And that's one of the things, when you bonk it down and then you diet and then you bonk it down and you put all that shit in your body and you bonk it down, well, then you get into your hormones, your thyroid, your pituitary. It goes into a whole nother level. And that's when you need someone like a Bernadette. And in this scenario, my body was feeling like it was 105 when I'd wake up. After I did the workout, boom, I'm back to feeling myself. But that's why I developed the whole 10-minute wake-up workout, because every single morning when I get out of bed to go to the bathroom, I had to use the walls and, you know, to guide myself because my muscles hadn't turned on yet. And then one morning I woke up and my body went into a total spasm. You got to remember what I did to my body from the ages of 35 to 48. I mean, really 49. I just pummeled my body. So those are the years you're supposed to be taking care of your body, not killing it. And when I pushed myself back in bed, I just heard my brother saying over and over again, get off that wheat and dairy, man, and your body will feel better. I'm like, bullshit, I'm not doing that. And it was all about the inflammation. So I actually had stopped eating it for a couple of days when I'd seen Terry and Bernadette. And actually, you know, I had a standing appointment with her that I was supposed to make. I made it months before, just by accident. And I wasn't sure I was even going to keep it. You get this woman, Bernadette, you gotta make an appointment with her 2 months in advance because that's how good she is. And her price, I heard, is going from $300 to $450.
Oh, Lordy.
That's what I heard first opening in. But, hey, that's how good she is.
Exactly.
You know, so, and everybody that I've sent Bernadette to, and mostly there are people over 45, you know, because most people I can look at and say, listen, you get off wheat and dairy, and, you know, you're going to feel and look completely different in the next 6 to 8 months. But in this scenario, I already had an appointment. I went and saw her. We just jived immediately, and I just got off. And when I got off, within 3 weeks, I felt significant difference. Within 3 months, I felt way better. Now I'm close to 2 years, and my body, you know, I don't know what's happened to me right now, but I know it has nothing to, I know I still feel good right now, you know. So that's why we came on here. And if you have any questions about, you know, wheat or dairy, or just, you know, in general, you know, call in now. The number is 347-994-1216. That's 347-994-1216. And you can get online and we'll bring you on and find out what you got to, what you're going to do. Before I actually bring anybody on, though, Robert, I want to talk to Doug. Doug, now you've done yo-yo dieting your whole life. What did you feel like? Because everybody who's like had crazy, you know, dramatic results with YRG, besides Arthur, was totally wheat and dairy free. He's the only one, but he did the food combining thing to the letter. But Doug, what happened when you stopped?
Well, you know, I stopped feeling lethargic. I had more energy. I had bad acne, and they were giving me this stuff to clear it up. And, you know, that didn't even really help that much. I can't remember what it was that they were giving me, but my acne cleared up. My skin got better. You know, my nails weren't as brittle. It's just, you know, it's like my whole body just transformed. I just felt like a new person. You know, I didn't have that walking around in a daze like I just, you know, eating a buffet, you know. So for me, it was just, I just felt like a complete different person. It gave me a lot more energy also.
Very cool. Very cool. And, yeah, you lost 100 pounds in how many months?
Nine.
And it's kept it off, which is the key. So, let's open up the lines. Robert, do we have anybody online right now?
Yeah, actually, we've got Don.
Donnie. Hey, Donnie's become a regular. Hey, Donnie.
Hey, what's up? How's it going, DDP? Hey, Rob. Hey, Terry. Hey, Doug.
Hey.
Hey.
How's everything going?
Excellent.
I'll tell you tomorrow.
All right.
How's it going for you?
It's going great, and I have to say I love this topic because I have been suffering from the effects of celiac for years and have denied it just because, well, I was stupid. But honestly, some of the effects that I've had go far and beyond what most people would imagine.
What do you
mean?
Well, one of the things that I have dealt with on a regular basis is, in addition to my weight, is having stasis dermatitis, which I have found out that because of the wheat, because of the dairy, and because of the things that I've been eating that I shouldn't have been, I'm not able to take off the weight, so indirectly, my condition of stasis dermatitis is caused by my intolerance to gluten and all the rest of that happy stuff. As a result, I have, and I'm dealing with right now, large sores that have torn in my skin on my lower leg. And that is very painful to deal with. But the hard part isn't so much dealing with the fact that it just opens up. It oozes, it bleeds, and causes all kinds of problems. I actually had to go to the hospital because it bled so much, and my wife couldn't get it to stop bleeding. I couldn't get it to stop bleeding. I passed out. And apparently when the ambulance came to get me, one of the ambulance drivers said, I don't think he's going to make it. But that's neither here nor there. I'm here now. So it's not fun, and I can tell you from experience that there is gluten, mostly wheat, in just about everything that you're going to find at a regular grocery store. So reading the labels is imperative. But
so,
I
are you completely wheat and dairy free at this point now, Donnie?
Not completely.
And why? Let me ask you, why? I mean, come on.
Actually,
you just gave me every reason why you should be, but go ahead.
Actually, I thought I was, but one of the things that I have to be very, 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 very careful is even some of the vegetables or meat that I might get prepared at a store has additives in it, and some of those additives are derivatives of wheat, and they can be very detrimental to somebody who has dealt with this like I have.
Well, that is the scary part. I am with you on that. The difference, and Dallas and I have talked about that, is people that choose to eat it without severe side effects. My doctors and the studies I've had, they believe it affects almost everybody, but most people have such a slight reaction, they're not noticed. It's over a great amount of time, but some of us get immediate life-threatening reactions, or they promote other diseases. And so people that in general that go out and say, well, I just won't eat bread, I won't have pizza, and I won't have basic things, you and I are worried about, are they using wheat salt in the salt shaker that goes on the table for the French fries? Or did someone pick up that spatula and pick up something else and touch my food and leave crumbs? Or if you order a salad and they remember they're not supposed to put croutons, so they just take them off, brush them off. So it is very frightening to figure out that you get it all, because as many times as you ask questions with people that you eat their food, you go to your friend's house or you go out, you ask 20 questions to the waiter or your friend, and still somebody slips you in something. So that's another subject versus someone that just wants to greatly reduce their gluten. You and I have a much harder task.
One of the things that I found was, because I'm a huge soda drinker, the dark soda, which is made from caramel is a derivative of wheat. And, I mean, that's just, you know, asking for more problems.
Now, I will tell you, are you aware that much of the caramel color now is corn gluten since 2008, when they've had to list, that was a really good government thing finally that they did, was they have to list the ingredients and such, and much of American caramel color is now corn-based, and if it's made in the United States. And so that opens up a little bit. Hopefully you're not getting a lot of processed stuff, but that makes it a little safer. And modified food starch is coming from corn now.
I wasn't aware of that, but
exactly.
with my in my immediate family, okay, my mom and I are both highly allergic to gluten. My dad is highly allergic to beet sugar and corn.
That's
and
corn's
peppers.
A tough one because it's in many things.
Yeah, so I mean, even peppers. You know, you don't think about it when you go to have chips and salsa. Well, there was peppers that made that. You know, you don't think about things like that unless you have to. And
right.
I'm finding out now.
Start thinking about every crumb that comes by your way. It's because you just don't know where it's come from. And the purer you order, obviously, the better. But in the 4 years I've had it, remarkable change has come in this last year to 18 months.
Absolutely.
With labeling, packaging, it's just the safer we get is if we use fresh foods and cook more and stay in our kitchens and eat more raw and stuff. It's when you package stuff you get into trouble. And I do have a rule, like I don't, if I flip a bag of food over and it's got a paragraph after it, I know somewhere in there there's gluten hidden. Or it's not that good for me. If there's a big word, I don't have to put any reading glasses on to see if there's big, long letters. You don't need to eat it for a number
right.
of reasons.
One of the things that, in addition to my gluten allergy, is I'm allergic to latex, which I can't eat bananas, I can't eat mango because I'm allergic to those for another reason, and I can't eat kiwi. So, you know, I'm kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place when it comes to everything that I'm allergic to. But a few years ago, my mom and another lady wrote a cookbook, which was entitled Food Allergies, What Do I Do Now? And going through her book, she has over 300 recipes, which are allergy-free for different people and everything. But in her research, she found that 9 out of 10 people suffer from a gluten allergy but don't know it. And also, FYI, DDP, the chemicals and everything that's used in on a daily basis have been directly linked to ADD and ADHD.
Oh, yeah. We've seen some studies where kids who are autistic who get off wheat turn around and they start to become normal.
I actually have a niece that is exactly that way. She's autistic, and we took her off from wheat completely, and it made a huge, huge change in her life.
Right. It doesn't help everybody, but it certainly it does help many of the kids in the HD. It's just, you know, it's a heavy chemical, and I wish it worked for all the autistic, because off that subject, now that they're going around with autism, like not get vaccinations, eat gluten-free, it's not that simple. And
no.
Those are some other issues. But it definitely is. Can you imagine giving your kids all these chemicals, be it gluten or soda, and see what happens to them? Because we know how, just think, I used to believe the saying that you are what you eat. But you and I know we are every bite that we eat, because one bite of food can make us sick immediately. That's
absolutely
really powerful.
So I want to ask you something here, Donnie. You said that, you know, you're a big soda guy. Are you still a big soda guy?
Not as much, no. It's kind of like...
what are you drinking?
Soda. I'm sorry?
What soda are you drinking?
Now I drink Mellow Yellow, but it's not every day.
Oh, my
God.
God,
I know
it. Normally I smoke crack, but it's not every day. Go ahead. That's in the soda world. That's what you say.
Do you know if that has gluten? I mean, Coca-Cola now took gluten out of theirs, but not all sodas are gluten-free. I mean,
right.
It's pretty evil anyway. But do you know that one is at least gluten-free?
Yes.
Okay.
And it's actually you made the comment of crack. I'm actually weaning myself off from it by not allowing myself to drink it every day. And I limit myself to what I do drink, and I replace it with tea and water and so on and so forth. So I'm actually getting off from it. It's been a bad habit of mine.
Well, once you get off it and you're off for like 6 months, I dare you to go back and try and drink it.
Because
it'll taste like battery acid.
I've actually done that before, and it didn't. I was off for a year.
And you came back and drank it, and you loved it.
Yeah, I just picked it up and started drinking it again.
Well, I've never heard anybody do that. Yeah, so you're totally addicted to it. Take it like that. It's sort of like smoking. People get away from smoking. They can't be around smoke. But the other person, they smell that smoke. It's like, oh, God, oh, more. They wave it to them because they're addicted to it. It's like food. You're addicted to food. You're addicted to this. You can choose what you're addicted to. I always say, why don't you try health? You know, try being addicted to health, to feeling good. You know, because there's a lot of people out there who will say nothing tastes as good as skinny. I always say bullshit. Nothing tastes as good as feeling healthy. Like,
I was going to say, I've had that on my phone since I lost the weight for 10 years. Like, I'd crossed out thin, because remember they always had those little signs about thin, and I put healthy. And I think the thing with the wheat was, and I don't know how you're feeling about it, Donnie, but for me, I walked out going, I'm going to give this a try, because I didn't believe it could turn me around that quick. But my eczema that was on my forearms that I blamed for my massaging all the time and those hairy men, dragging my arms across them, whatever, irritating them. In 3 or 4 days, less than that week, it was gone. And I had been plagued with that on my arms and stuff for years. And so that was like, there it cannot be any bites of wheat out there that is worth me getting sick. And then as I got diseases I had to fix, it's just like, I just can't put it in my mouth. But I have several celiac friends that will say, like at Thanksgiving, they ate the dinner, and I asked them how they were, and they said, oh, I got really sick, but I ate it anyway. See, yeah. I can't imagine going and just picking up poison, because it's literally walk over, you might as well pour some poison in you, when there are other alternatives. You can get turkey and dressing without it. It takes more work. It may cost more money or whatever. But you don't have to do without it, and you can live better.
This might be a good time for this question. We've got a question from the chat room from Jay, and he's looking for ideas of what Skaloosa. So he was asking what you guys ate today.
Okay, Terry, you go ahead. I'll go second.
Oh, let's see. Oh, well, every morning I'm pretty repetitive. Every morning I have what I call an internal shower. I get up fairly early and I have fruit, like a banana, a couple strawberries or blueberries, a couple prunes, and then I work out and stuff. But then when I have my breakfast before I start massaging, usually it's an egg white omelet. It might have spinach, onion, whatever, and I pour it. Usually I put it over whatever leftover vegetables I might have had the night before. And if I'm in the mood, I'll have a slice of Udi's toast.
Okay, let me go. All right.
And
so
what do you have for breakfast?
Well, I've been doing this the last 3 days in a row. That I've talked to people about yogurt, because I know a lot of people think, well, I thought I'd have yogurt in the morning. Is it cow yogurt? Yeah. I go, it's shit. You know, so let me turn you on to something that tastes way better and is way better for you, which is the coconut yogurt. And it's so delicious, coconut. Mm-hmm. You can find it at Whole Foods. If you don't have a Whole Foods near you,
and
go
Kroger
to your
too now.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If you go to your person who, you know, is who works that area, like the dairy area, you know, or whatever, and you go to that manager and say, you need to get so delicious coconut yogurt here. I can't eat milk. Now, I don't tell anybody. I choose. Terry, Don, they should never eat the shit ever. I choose not to eat it. So if something slips into me, it's not a big deal. Now, if I go and eat, like when I went to Jersey the last time, I said, I'm going to have the sub and I'll eat half of the bread and I'm going to have a piece of pizza. So I might as well OD. I felt so shitty afterwards. I don't think I'll do it the next time I go home. You know, maybe once in a blue moon I'll have that one sub just because I grew up with that. But I know I'm going to feel shitty about it. But it's going to be one time I'm done. So I won't say I'll never do that again. I'm not saying I'll never eat a regular piece of pizza, even though I actually grown to like eating gluten-free pizza. So for breakfast, what I do is I take that So Delicious yogurt, and I'll take like a pint of it. It's like $3.49. I pour it into a piece of Tupperware. Then I take raspberries, blueberries, strawberries, mix them up in the yogurt, which is going to actually even keep them fresher because it's marinating. Then I take some chia seeds and I sprinkle some chia seeds over it, stir it up, stick it in a, that's my what I call first breakfast. I have first and second breakfast for me. I have that before I work out, and then the girls come or the guys come, whoever's working out with me that morning, because I'm always creating new workouts now. And any of you all come on that retreat with me to Mexico in August, you're going to see shit where you're going to be like, wow, this is completely different, yet it's exactly the same. But it's just so many different levels, and it'll be more intense. It'll be easier for people who can't do as much. I'll be showing modifications, all that stuff. It's going to be a crazy trip. But every morning I'm working out with different people, and they're all different levels. Like some of you know who Matt Besick is. You know, he started me with 439 pounds. He's been doing his little blogs. He got sick the last couple of days, so I haven't done anything. But he's been doing his blogs, and coming over and working out with a guy who's over 400 pounds is a completely different workout than I'm going to do with someone who is, you know, over, you know, 250 pounds or regular weight. You know, the bottom line is if you stick with this, because I have worked with a guy who's over 475 pounds and got him all the way down to 425 pounds. He's actually in the Diamond Cutter workout. That cat used to be 475 pounds, and as soon as he got under 400. He could do every single workout that I did, no matter what, just modifying it. So what I do is I eat those blueberries, raspberries, strawberries. I just went to Costco's, and it must be blueberry season, because they've got organic blueberries for $6.99, and it's in a big pouch. So I grab like three of them, and I'll freeze them and take them out when I need them. And then I'll work out, and then I'm going to have – I have to eat my protein, because if I don't get my protein in, I'm going to lose my size. All I want to stay is where I'm at, which is 230 pounds. I used to be a bodybuilder. Now I'm a body maintainer. And I'll have like – I used to have 10 eggs. Now I was at 8. Now I'm at 7 just because it fits the pan perfect. I spray a little olive oil on there, not canola, that shit. Pam, that shit. I use a good olive oil spray. You can get it at Trader Joe's. If they now actually even Pam makes an olive oil spray. They're all coming around because they can see the country, as bad as it is right now, needs to get healthier. And people are starting to make those choices. So I'll spray a little olive oil on there, throw the eggs in. Now I'm also going to have, because I'm not about losing weight, I'm about holding weight. So I'll have a piece of that Udi's bread. You heard Terry say that. It's U-D-I-E-S. It's a whole grain rice bread that normally you grab these breads. It's like picking up a brick. And you go, oh, my God. Things like you hit somebody to hell with this, you can knock them out. Seriously. I'm not exaggerating. But this one's light. And when you toast it, I challenge you to give me another piece of bread that tastes better than that.
It's
I'm
so
not saying,
good, isn't it?
It's
yeah.
unbelievable.
And it's in the frozen section. Just don't get the white one. Get the multigrain one.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So I'll have that. I might have two pieces. I might have a waffle. Now, if you're trying to lose weight, you don't want to be eating the waffles and the blah, 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 this kind of breakfast like I'm having, but because it's all about moderation. Now, I'm saying once in a while have a waffle, yeah. And I put only organic natural maple syrup, not that shit that says organic, and in the back you see corn syrup, organic corn syrup. They're using that label of organic and gluten-free like it's a pull to pull you in when you have to read the ingredients. I mistakenly saying, well, this one's $16, and it's for a quart or whatever it was. This one's only $9.95. I'm taking that one and trying that one. Went home, I'm eating it, and I go, this is pretty good, man. I'm going to stick with this one. Then I read the back. I was like, son of a bitch. I just threw it out, you know, because I'm not going to eat it. Yeah, I don't want corn syrup in my body. I don't want soy in my body. I don't want cow. I don't want wheat, because I want to hold back the hands of time. Now, I might get slapped across the face tomorrow when I go see that doc, but I'll rebound off of that, and I'll fight my way through wherever it's at. And that's where your mental state of mind has to be. Last night, I made something so delicious. Actually, the last two nights I did. I took some Tinkiata is one of the best pastas. You use that,
it is.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's really, really good. And I found a really good natural spaghetti sauce. It's like three grams of sugar per half cup. And I probably only used about a half cup, but I used a whole package of the Tinkiata. I put it in there, I boiled it up, and then I sauteed some mushrooms and onions, and then I cut some broccoli just off the top, just shredding the top of the broccoli into the spaghetti. Then I put I put a little bit of avocado in there. I put some beans in there, because rice and beans, what do they call that, Terry? Is that like a complex protein, or what is that called?
Yeah, they're complex carbohydrates, but they are a protein and a carb, the beans, so that's a good way to get your protein. And
So all that together, and these other vegetables I just put in there and mixed it all up. It was delicious. Now, here's what I did on top of that. I took these big organic romaine leaves, and what I did is I cut some of it into little pieces, and I put it inside the leaves, and I ate it like a sandwich.
Oh, goodness.
That's what I do.
And I do the same thing with if I'm making some chicken, and if I end up making that into a salad, I use the leaves as a sandwich thing. I could do it with tuna, anything like that. For me, at night, I try to not mix proteins and carbs because I want to be lean at the end of the night. Like if I'm eating some of Angie's cookies, the My Pick Eaters cookies or cupcakes or whatever, I'll still eat my, like tonight I'm going to have rice and beans. There's a brand at Whole Foods called Eden, like Garden of Eden, E-D-E-N, and their rice and bean combination is all organic. It's amazing, and it's under $4, and it's really two meals. For someone who's trying to lose weight, it's two meals. For me, it's one meal, and what I'm going to do is take that rice and beans, saute up some mushrooms and onions, mix them in with the rice and beans that's already made, and then I'm going to take it and put them in the same leaves of romaine leaves that I have, and then I'm going to shred some sheep cheese over it. A little salt and pepper, awesome. Now, that's eating as healthy as you can eat. So, I mean, it tastes delicious. I don't eat anything that doesn't taste great. That answer your question?
I'll tell you, you brought in the mushroom bit. I was okay with what you were saying.
I was going to say, I'll leave out the mushrooms myself, but he's really great. And tonight I had the same kind of pasta he was talking about. He's a little spinach bow tie stuff. I did have some buffalo meatballs because my husband will eat gluten-free most of the time, but when he's out or occasionally, he'll eat something else. But he loves the pasta, and I had all kinds of vegetables in my sauce, but I gave him some buffalo meatballs. But he notices when he does eat his real food, he does feel heavy, bloated, once he got away from it. But he'll go back to it whenever, or out to lunch. I don't know what he does out to lunch. But he notices how he feels, and so he stays gluten-free as much as he can.
See, if I could get my wife, if I could get my wife to eat seafood, I wouldn't have a problem, because I would make and roll and cut sushi all day long. But she doesn't do it.
Yeah, but that's not her fault. You're responsible for you, Donna. You know, that's how you're making these gains that you're doing right now, because you're taking control of the situation.
But as far as getting her to eat seafood, that would help me out a lot, because I could get rid of all the rest of the crap that I don't need. But I've already done most of that, got rid of a lot of it, and the rest of it, I don't need it. I just walk past it. Like, for better part of a week, my wife has had a candy bar, which is chocolate, sitting in the fridge, and I just look at it and keep going and don't even bother with it, which is really good for me, because I used to see it and it would stick in my mind for like 2 days and then it was gone. I would eat it, but it's been there for better part of a week. I don't need it. I don't want it. So that's a plus.
Oh, very good. Very good. Now, do we have anybody else who wants to call in and ask any questions or anything?
Actually, we've got, I don't know if you checked your iChat, but we've got three callers right now lined up, and the first one's Officer X.
All right, Officer X, come on in, man. How you doing, buddy? Yo. Hello, Officer X. I think we lost Officer X. Okay, who's next? He'll come back.
Oh, yeah, he always does. Matt Vesic.
Who else you got?
Matt Vesic.
All right, bring on Matty. Hey, Matt.
What's up, Dallas? How you doing?
Good, buddy. What do you got for
Terry,
a sec?
Oh, I was going to say, Terry's making some excellent points. And one of the things that I really have found within the first couple months of doing it is that, for me, it hasn't been a problem giving up the gluten at all. And what's been especially beneficial is just getting rid of that dairy, because every single meal I had, I would even snack on cheese. I mean, it was just cheese, throw in some milk, and then have some more cheese, And that feeling of being bloated and, when you overeat as well, it kept me so backed up. And, now it's like just a total different feeling. It feels so good to not feel sluggish.
Right. Exactly, doesn't it? And I bet your sinuses are clear, you're breathing, because you're not making that mucus, thickening it inside you.
Yep, and one of the things I did notice, too, is that a lot of times when I would wake up in the morning, I'd have just horrible mucus backup, a lot of phlegm. And now, you know, except for the occasional cold or whatever, you know, there's no mucus. You know, it's like I can actually wake up in the morning and not worry about, you know, trying to hack up what's just amounted overnight from just, you know, having all this drippage and stuff. And it feels so good. It's so different.
I was going to say, when I was a nurse years and years ago, I used to, an allergy nurse, I used to tell all my patients when they come in, you know, with their sinuses and their troubles, like to cut back on your dairy so that you'll feel better and breathe better. It was years later when it dawned on me, if it works to make you feel better, why are we eating it to begin with, to build the mucus that gets you the sinus infection, for me to tell you not to eat dairy?
And I would have never associated that
right.
if I hadn't stopped eating dairy. It's like,
exactly.
I had an ex-girlfriend of mine who, she was the same way, horrible, horrible sinus problems and sinus infections. And never once thought about the fact that, you know, her intake of, you know, food, she had kids, a lot of her eating was the kids' habits, and it was just crappy eating, which included a lot of dairy products. And, you know, sure enough, after doing it a couple months here, I'm realizing, you know, wow, this is, what an amazing change for something as simple as mucus, you know?
Right. I was going to say, when I went to several lectures, we have, I belong to a support group, but we have gastroenterologists and nutritionists come and lecture, and so I've learned so much more about gluten. But every one of them thought dairy was a worse problem for people than gluten even. And they want you to kind of think about, it's a powerful dairy industry, so they make a lot of money selling us milk, but that we are the only mammal that uses another mammal's milk to feed our young. And then we are the only mammal that still gives milk to each other after we've been weaned. And if cows, how do cows get strong bones? They're a vegetarian as they grow. It's like a lot of the food industry. They bank on us not having enough time or energy or brains or whatever money to just buy whatever they sell us instead of doing our homework. And a lot of us know all the sports teams and all the video games, I don't know anything about, all these kinds of things, but we don't know what's going on in our own bodies. I guess I was blessed as a nurse, and I worked in surgery some, to see all of this cut open, to see what things do. I mean, my first surgery, I saw what cigarette smoke did to the lungs. We pulled out ashes out of a man's chest when I was 18. That stuck in my head. I didn't get every lesson, but I got some. So we need to read and learn about our bodies so that we get it and not trust people who are trying to sell us something because they just want to make money on us and our ignorance or our busyness. And it is confusing because everybody's got a different story, but that's what YRG is so good. We talk about all of this and share what we're finding out or stumbling through.
And I think, Dallas, you made a great point, too. One of the things that I recently just saw, I think a couple days ago, on the 10 o'clock news was a report on the quote-unquote gluten trend. And the thing is that, yeah, if you don't look at the packaging and you don't really look close, they're doing the same thing with these gluten-free products. They're making that buck by, you know, falling in what now is called a trend.
Right.
And it's like for people who realize, you know, you don't trend, you live healthy. You know, that's the difference. And it's amazing that they can take something that, you know, that is good for you and just still try to make the buck off of it by making the quick fix.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Now, let me ask you, Robert, who else do we have on this? Because we're over now, and I'll keep going for a little bit, but I want to make sure we get everybody in. Who else do we have on the line?
We actually have one more caller, and that's Brandon.
Okay, put on Brandon. Brandon.
Can you hear us, Brandon?
Yeah, hey, Paige, hey, DDP.
What's up, buddy? Good to hear you.
Hey, I finally got in. I wanted to catch the show. Sounds pretty good. I'll probably do a replay to hear the whole thing in its entirety. But, I was listening to the part where you guys were talking about the lactose intolerant aspect. And, yeah, your other co-host on there, if you look at it, most ingredients in every packaged foods, they always have dairy products. It's like the milk industry is in everything. I mean, you can't get any dark chocolate anymore. It's all got milk chocolate. You can't get any type of any type of packaged food without having, sugar and dairy, cream or anything in it. And so they really tried to hit you with the whole thing. I'm lactose intolerant, but I do, the only dairy I use really basically is kefir, and it's really homemade. I have the cultures and stuff, and it's really concentrated and with a lot of probiotics in it. But other than milk or cottage cheese or yogurt, I don't use any of that stuff. And if I do eat cheese, it's sheep or goat cheese, but it's really, aged for like maybe a year or so to take it. And the same thing with gluten. It's always, everything has wheat in it, And they list it on all the packaged ingredients. I mean, every food, cereals, everything. So it's really hard to find something without gluten.
No, that's the whole thing, bro.
She can't touch the stuff. She can't touch it. I mean,
don't you have a daughter that's gluten intolerant too?
No, I have a niece that's gluten intolerant.
Niece.
She has celiac disease. She has celiac disease, and she can't even use makeup products like lipstick or anything like that because it affects and it goes right through the mucous membrane and gets into her system, and she's like sick for two or three days. So she has to really watch what she even touches or puts on her skin.
Well, that's the whole reason I wanted to, there was a lot of people asking questions about it on the site. I'm sure a lot of people go back and listen to this. This is a great forum for people to understand what people are going through is just celiac. And then the next level is people who are allergic to, wheat or dairy. And then there is just sensitive. And like, from what I understand, Stacy, who lost 170 pounds in 17 months, she wasn't celiac. She wasn't allergic to wheat or dairy, but she was sensitive. That's it, just sensitive. And she was 345 pounds at one point. And, bottom line is once she gave that shit up, it completely changed her body, and which allowed her to change her mind and her entire mindset. So does anyone else have anything else to add? Do you have anything to add to any of this, Doug?
Are you talking to me?
I was talking to Doug. I was saying, Doug, do you have anything to add to this? Doug, did we lose Doug?
Okay,
Doug.
Still on the room.
Okay, well, you see, he probably walked away and went to the bathroom or something.
I was going to say, Dallas, not to get so hung up about, people talking about the celiac or not, because they are saying there's so many more gluten intolerant people who are not celiacs. Celiacs are just a tiny piece of intolerance. And the reason they think all this is coming about is because over these past couple of decades, they've been genetically modifying the wheat. Happening to the soy now. So the loaf of bread, Wonder Bread that our parents may have bought, the bread on the shelves now are like 90% more glutenated because it gives it longer shelf life. I mean, this bread never dies. You can put a Twinkie on your desk and it'll last for years or something. So that's why it's not particularly good for anybody, because it isn't being digested well, and it's that stickiness that goes into your intestines, and everybody should get to know their poop. If you don't know what your poop looks like and how often you're having it, Because what is coming out of you from the inside and how often is what's going on the outside of you. You're not healthy.
Really, technically, you're supposed to have a bowel movement after every meal. Some people only have it once a day, but really, if you eat three times a day, you should have three bowel movements every single day.
And at least a couple, but you know, there are people, especially some of my clients, even I haven't converted, I try, but some people don't have bowel movements for days, and they think that's normal. Can you imagine that sitting in your intestines, which becomes the sewer? Holding all of this, this is another thing why I had the jelly skin. When you have food that isn't being processed, it has to go through the liver and the kidneys. That's your dumping ground. And if you're eating sluggish food that doesn't easily get passed, your liver and kidneys kind of clog up. And for gluten intolerant people, it really does not process. So those toxins, or the waste that the liver and kidney have to fluff off because they can't send it out of the body, goes into your thighs and in your belly particularly, and that's called cellulite. Your cellulite is your toxins that your kidneys and liver, that's why a lot of liver panels aren't good on people with dietary problems. Your liver will regenerate if you get it healthy, but there are other parts that won't. And so that's why when we don't throw out these toxins, they start getting all of our organs, our pancreas, that's why the immune system gets shot. And the reason we're getting so many intolerant people now, besides the wheat being genetically modified, is the new celiacs and the people that are getting sick now are just older, and when your hormones start to slow down, that's your defense against your immune system. And so now, that's why all of a sudden we have all these gluten people, and we're not 10 years old. We're not babies diagnosed. We're adults in menopause or perimenopause or whatever you men are. As your hormones get weaker, we start getting sicker, and we're getting sicker earlier because our food's bad. It's processed.
And another thing I want to point out, too, is especially if you're in your 40s, or 50s or whatever, and this got in all you people in your 20s and 30s and 40s, it's coming to you as well. And the bottom line is, there's so much processed food that as an average person eats, that every one of those labels, I think Don started out saying it when he came on, you can't pick up a label, and you really can't, that's not in the gluten-free area. You cannot pick up a box, a can, or something that doesn't say wheat, flour, or gluten on it. So when I was a kid, when Terry was a kid, we only got wheat in Wheaties, bread, and pasta.
Wow.
That was it. That was it. So we weren't ODing on it. The people who have grown up, especially in the last 30 years, that's all you've had is all that shit. So instead of breaking down when you're 50, there's a really good chance you're going to break down in your 30s or your 40s, unless you get ahead of the curve. And that's what this show is all about, to make you aware of what it is out there. I mean, like, now, granted, there are people that can eat plastic, okay? And they're just lucky. Like, if I see a woman's in awesome shape, I'll say, so what do you do? And they might say, oh, God, I blah, 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 blah. And some of them say, I don't do anything. Women hate you, don't they? Whoever that woman is, I'll say the same thing. Women hate you. When people see Angela, they think that she looks like that her whole life. That's not true. You know, she works her ass off. You know, and then someone sees Terry, no one would believe that Terry was 65 pounds heavier now. They've seen her. Especially if they know her the last 10 years, they never believe that because they see you now. Now, Stacy's getting to that spot. You know, in 5 years from now, when she holds on to that being down 180-plus pounds, you know, people are going to assume she's always been skinny or, you know, lean. You know, so, you know, it's part of it when that's not the truth. And how we abuse our body as time goes on, you're going to pay that back. Now, I may be going to pay back for all those elbows I took from Randy Savage, and maybe my kidneys never really, really healed, even though I feel awesome. We'll see, you know, but you're going to pay the piper at some point in time. I mean, those of you who are wrestling fans out there, you see some of the stuff that Jeff Hardy's or Rey Mysterio does, two of the greatest daredevils of the business, but those and Jack you know, Mick Foley, you know, he can barely walk around. You know, that shit will, when they're my age at 55, they will not be able to just walk around like that, because it all catches up to us. What we do to our bodies, how we eat, the whole deal, it's your choice. Just letting you know, and I'm going to close out the show with this right here. I want to let you know that Officer X, who was with me, he came out here and spent a couple days out here in L.A. He was with RVD, Rob Van Dam, who's been a guest and a co-host here on DDP Radio. We did a video about, I'd be close to maybe 9 months ago, whenever Officer X was out here in L.A., and Marlon filmed it, and I actually interview RVD, and then we do the workout. And I've got a buddy of mine named Matt, and Matt is taking the footage that I put together with DDP, the real DDP, DDP TV, is going to. And I guarantee you, if you see it, you will definitely be blown away, because Pat's thrown some, he's an editor and that stuff, and he's thrown some great special effects in there. And this is where I want my DDP TV to go to. And this is the first thing we're going to do it on, and it'll be DDP meets RVD doing YRG. And that'll be coming up within the next week, I'm sure. By next week, it'll be out there, and it'll be a three-part series. So if you haven't subscribed to The Real DDP, I suggest you do so, because I guarantee you it will be entertained, and send it to your friends and let them know it's a one-of-three-part series. I'm going to close this show out now. We're over by about 20 minutes, but it was great. Appreciate Doug coming on here. I will see you tomorrow, Doug. I'm going to the dock first, so just call me when you land, and as soon as I leave his office, I will be on my way to pick you up. Terry, I really appreciate you coming on here and filling in for Stacy. You did an awesome job, and I think you really helped a lot of the people out. And thanks for the guys for coming on here. It was Matt, Don, and my buddy Brandon, Officer X. We would love to have had you on. But obviously, you must have got called to action. That's why we don't call him by his real name, because he's calling in to DDP Radio while he's on the job. Oh, he's not on the job anymore. That's right. He's training the kids. He's training the new enlistee. So he's actually, his wife must have pulled him off. Okay, guys. I hope you got something out of this. We'll be back again next Thursday. Just want to say you've been wonderful. You've been marvelous. But see ya.
Listen up, bozos. Diamond Dallas Page here, the AWA's Diamond Exchange. And I'm here with the kings of the universe. We're talking the AWA Tag Team Champs of the World, Bad Company. And we're talking B-A-double-D, Bad. Woo, baby.
Dallas, you look great. How are you today?
I never had a bad day in my life, Daddy. And why not? I am the world's greatest professional wrestling manager in the world. A mastermind of the sport with great looks. Brains? Good God, it's a deadly combination.
It's this man, Diamond Dallas Page, against the Macho Man, Randy Savage.
Savage, you want to come into my real world? I'm going to snap into yours.
Savage, when you thought he had Diamond Dallas had Savage.
Raven, I haven't forgotten everything you've done to me.
Got him up!
Oh, he got him!
There's only one Diamond Cutter!
Diamond Cutter by Page! It's 1, 2, 3!
Oh, he's got a new world champion, guys!
And a DDP!
DDP, he earned it! He fought it! It's hell off! They all did!
In history, Diamond Dallas Page is the heavyweight champion of the world!
Say that again, Tony!
Diamond Dallas Page is the heavyweight champion of the world! I can't believe it!
I'd say unless your parents change their mind, I'm going to have you at the 18th birthday.
Who is it?
Have you done your yoga today?
DDP, I like me, you like me, and I'm going to help you like you.